Yo, I put it like wow, this that sound. These oaks don't work hard like me, I hope they know by now. Bayo Bear, stand my ground. Throw these money trees, go overseas like Percy Tau. I make sure you stay around, quiet when I'm under loud. No negatives allowed, me positivity took a vow. I always play to win, don't anticipate loss. Mind always in the cloud, my boy, never think about the drop. Never ever ever think about the drop.
Welcome to it, sports fans. It is the MKT show, and I've returned. People are saying, stop running and record an episode. Fair enough. But let me address that whole situation. And I'm going to talk about it a little bit later. But I'm wedding guy now. I've been at a wedding, had to do some stuff, and then I had another wedding situation. So it just was not possible this weekend. Now people will say, make the time, it's your job. I would say that's a fair point. But I'm a wedding guy now. I was traveling between four places in the last 7 days. I was in four different places in 7 days. And it's kind of dynamic when you're at weddings. You know, you try and make the time, but I was the MC at a wedding, you know. And then I had to stay in Cape Town for a meeting, and then I stayed an extra day to get some stuff done. And I was staying at a friend's place, and she has a baby. Not my baby, her own baby, with another person. So, situations are situational. Anyway, I'm back, MKT show, what's happening? As the youth say, you know, in the youth are youthing. I'm on the back end of a bachelor's party yesterday. And wowzers. Let's get into that. MKT show, obviously, right, wrong. And then we'll talk about Paul Pogba, who has been suspended for PEDs. I've got some strong thoughts on that situation, because Pogba and I, in some sense, have quite a similar personality. And it's been interesting for me, the outpouring. And I want to address that in my thoughts, because I've always had strong thoughts on Paul Pogba. And I was right. You know, in the end, I was right. I know that kind of character. So I'll address Paul Pogba and his legacy to football following his 4-year suspension. But let's start off with this one. I'm a wedding guy now. So I went down to the Winelands. And for those who listen to the podcast, people will say, can't believe you traveled for a wedding. Now, that is because I've said lots is I have turned down weddings where I have to travel. But this particular person was very, very special. And I was the MC. I think he might have made me the MC because he knows I've got the potential to turn down weddings, particularly in this scenario. So I don't know if he made me the MC because he wanted to make me the MC. Or he was like, oh, I really want this guy there. How do we get him there? Because I have the closeness in me to turn down a wedding. Like I even if you're a good friend, I've done it before, you know? It's like I'm not gonna travel the equivalent of like it's 5-6 hours to leave my house. It's a 6-hour round trip. So call it 12 hours purely of traveling there and back, you know, for you to get married. But this particular person, I would have gone anyway. And I'm not just saying that in hindsight. I lived with the guy for 2.5 years. You get to know someone. And he's the type of person who makes you want to be a better person yourself. And when I was at the wedding, I realized how special he was. It wasn't just like, because I'm not really like, oh, let's get emotional about it. I like to think, and we're all human, we're emotional, and we're susceptible. We're easily manipulated, by the way, very, very easily, all of us. But I've got like some emotional repression issues. You know, I'm quite emotionally repressed. But at this wedding, one thing I observed was how many people came from around the world. And I've been to weddings where it's money is not a problem for that echelon of societies, you know. And it's similar in this case where his friends are middle, upper, middle class and in a different stratosphere. of money, but that wasn't the issue. You know, because usually people with more money don't really like to do stuff for other people. Like, the richer people get, the more they're like, ugh, you know, can I do it in my time? Like, I value my time. And they call it FU money, right? Some of the people have that money. But people flew in from around the world, and there were a couple of people where we're just flying in for this and we're going home. Dude came from New Zealand. And he was like, he was going home like the next week or the next day kind of thing. Had drive to airport, hungover. He was flying. Like the Netherlands, Saudi Arabia. There were people that came from everywhere. But this particular guy, really, really special. And I was the MC for it. And that's what I observed. You know, he is the type of person that makes you think, wow, how can one person care this much about so many people? Because the reason these people traveled, as we were all discussing stories, and for those who don't know, I don't drink. So I'm not like, you know, I'm not smoking anything. I don't do the drags, and I don't drink. So I'm sober at all times, 25/7, as Barwon used to say. No free ads though. And that is something I realized, is everyone had a story about the depth of knowledge he had in their lives. And I met people that this particular gent had told me about as we lived together for 2.5 years when I lived in Cape Town. And I realized how deeply he was in people's lives. He knows, you know, this guy, when he talks, he's like, this person is their sister and this happened in this person's life and here's how that affected them. And so here's why he moved there. This new partner in their lives has changed them like this. I'm like, I have to be honest, and it's something I've always admired about Jesse, who's the gentleman who got married, is the depth he has in people's lives. Because I want to be honest, beyond 5-6 people, I'm not that invested where I'm pouring myself into it. Like, I just don't have it in me. Like, I'm a very, very, very self-centered person. I have to be very clear and honest about it. Like, and I'm not including my mom and my sister in that. But of my friends, like 6 max, because I was trying to count before the podcast, 5.5, where I'm really invested. Like, what's your mom's name? What is she doing? Who's she with? Like, how's that relationship? Where I actually know, you know, not like, oh, we catch up every now and then. And I remember there were some problems with your mom. Like, Jesse knows everyone's situation, like why they turned out this way, what they bring to the table emotionally. And what really struck me, the next level, was the diversity of personalities that were there. And it made me think about Jesse in this sense, is he makes people feel incredibly valued. Because everyone who was at the wedding felt like his best mate. In their minds, like in my mind, he's my best mate. But somebody else, you hear them talk about why they are here, I can see it's like, oh, you think he's your best mate as well, you know? And it really was a lesson for me to keep aspiring for that. Am I ever going to get it? Probably not. Let's be realistic. Like, I just don't have that emotional intelligence. Like, and he's not, there's some people where you kind of feel it's slimy, right? It's like, you know, people that are doing too much, where there's always an end game and it's going to be, they expect some reciprocity, or it's transactional, or it's like, maybe they know that someone's rich or you're powerful and they hope for something on the back end, or, you know, you're a social animal, so you'll help them out, blah, 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 whatever it may be. We've all met these types of, in my type, like morally bankrupt people. But with him, he's not acting out of character. I mean, I've known the man for a long time now. We're sort of in our 9th year of friendship, and he's just doing what he does. And then you saw it at the wedding, the diversity of characters. So it's like, he's not just connecting. So he's a chiropractor, you know, high level dude, you know. But he's not just connecting with people in his own sort of circle of competence. Emotionally, he's across the board. But it's because, and I will always argue for this, one thing I'm quite decent at is I'm invested in good ideas. I'm not really attached to how people feel. is this a good idea? Because good ideas are timeless. There are certain ideas that have lasted for 3,000 years. One thing Jesse makes people feel is valued. Or I should say, from what I picked up from them, and certainly my feeling, is whenever you're with him, and if you are his friend, he's super invested and he really cares. That's one thing I struggle with. Like, beyond those 5.5 people, and by the way, I'm not saying the one person is a midget. There's like 5 people and maybe a half on the back. He genuinely cares. He's super invested, checking up. How are you doing? Where you been? And the man is part of an unbelievably successful family business where he's now going to take over. So it's not like he's slacking. He's opened up another business that's starting to do well in the running world. So it's not like he's a guy who has the time, you know? Like, all of us go, oh, my life's so busy. It's just like, this guy's life is just, and he's married now, by the way. So it's not like he's been mucking around and he's single like I am. I say, I'm single. I feel like I never have time for me. And I focus all on me. That's it. I've got a solid family. I don't need to worry about anybody else. I'm very single. I'm extremely single. So to have that emotional breadth came to light. And I love that. It was really, I don't want to say an awakening moment, because probably not going to change. Like, let's be honest, people don't change. And I'm old now. It's like, this is what I probably am. Emotionally repressed forever and slightly interested in what you're doing outside of the 5.5 people who have poured into me, you know, like beyond that. You know, I do care. I'll listen. I'm not exactly what you might call Mr. Feely Touchy. Let's be honest. I think if you ask people that have been around me, I guess you'd have to ask. I don't know what they'd say, but I'm not exactly Mr. Intellectual or Mr. Emotionally Connected. You know, like, I don't know what people would say, but I'm not exactly, you know, I'm not Jesse. Let's just say that the man is invested. He is invested in people and he pours his heart into it, by the way. He pours into... There were like 120 people there. There was 80 people at the wedding, you know, at the reception. But there were just streams of people. 80 people. I think it was 120 in the mix, but at the actual reception. A place called Montpellier, if you want to get married in the winelands. I've been to a couple of places in the winelands where basically I would imagine it's billionaires who own them. What wine farms are just a tax write-off, by the way. They're not profit-making entities. So, but Montpellier is the most incredible setting I've ever been in the winelands. I've been to some unbelievable dream weddings in other places, but in that place, in the winelands, Montpellier, not great accommodation, not great food. Food's rubbish, actually. Sorry, like, I got to be honest. The food is complete tosh. What I should have done, and Jesse did tell me, I had a self-catering place with a stove and a fridge. I could have bought my own food. You know? No, not the host's fault. He did tell me, like, brother, you've got a self-catering place on your own. Could have bought my own food. I could have controlled that situation. And I'm big on controlling the controllables. Food was rubbish. The wedding was unreal. The setting is unreal. Think Lord of the Rings meets, like, I don't know, an AI-generated film in the future where everything's perfect. Besides, as I said, the food and... The accommodation, not bad. It's the bedding. The bed, crap quality bed. You know, for like a real 6-star setting. It's like, you're in the winelands, in one of the wealthiest areas in the world. Why can't you just have a Sealy Posturepedic? I mean... Like, they cost 15,000 rand. You know what I mean? Just invest a little bit in that. Get a chef. Get a proper chef. Breakfast was rubbish. Because it's in a wine cellar, which was unbelievable, by the way. So, rubbish food. Rubbish bed. The accommodation's nice, actually. It's quaint. But, listen. You know, what do I know? I don't own a wine farm. But an incredible, incredible life lesson for me. You can always care more. My takeaway is, Wow, people really care. This guy really cares. So a real life lesson. One of the people I love the most in the world. And I'm a week removed from that bubble, so I'm not in like the love is real bubble, you know? You know how people get at a wedding. Just, my word, it's unbelievable. You know who I feel sorry for? If you are in a 4 to 6 year relationship and were at that wedding, oh my goodness. Because that's never going to leave her mind now. So if you're in a relationship where you aren't married, but, you know, around 4 to 6 years, people start asking questions. That was your nightmare situation. Because you want to be there for Jesse, but your girlfriend is going, oh my goodness. Firstly, this is the standard. And when are you going to ask? Like, look at this. Families are coming together. People are coming back from Saudi Arabia. From London. From New York. There were people from New York. A couple from New York flew in. Who are his dad's friends, by the way. Like, not even his friends. He's such a great guy. Like, his family's so great. It's like, oh, okay, your dad's my friend. I'm still going to bring my wife from New York. We're going to fly in and then fly back, like, the next day. This is the type of family you're talking about here. People from everywhere. Ireland. Oh. But those people are under pressure. If you, that between 28 years old and 40 years old guy, you've been in a relationship, it's starting to cook now, you know, everyone knows everyone. She's starting, and then she was at that wedding. You're in trouble. There was the most incredible idea that Jesse had. On the first night, there was a poiky competition. When I first heard it, again, here's my emotional repression. In my mind, like, I am who I am. I was raised by an engineer, right? In my mind, I'm like, it's doing too much. Like, I'm a practical guy. Let's go. You get married. I go home. It was the best idea I've ever actually maybe encountered at a social event. Because what it did, it was the night before the wedding. What it did was it put us in a competition. So it was a cooking competition. And so people moved around. You could taste people's food. The banter got going. And it was in an enclosed sort of circle space. So it was surreal. And it was like really hot in there. So that space is like it was like a massive fire pit. That imagine human beings being the size of coal, because there were, I think, 5 or 6 teams in there. But we were in that circular space. So I kind of get, like, back in the day, you know, to elicit certain psychological conditions. That's why drums are such a big part of society, of some cultures, is those kinds of things elicit a different part of your neurological sort of perception of the world. So we were in that. It was boiling hot in there. But that kicked off because the banter was electric. Still controversial why our team didn't win, by the way. We were the only team with starters, Rooster Cook, but A grade, right, which had this butter, because I had 2 Afrikaans people on my team. Afrikaans people take that stuff seriously. Like Chris, our team captain, he's a proper Burki, not even an Afrikaanser, because, you know, the Afrikaanser speak like a bit of English, moved to the city. I don't want to say Soti, because he is actually Afrikaans. But him and his sister took it seriously. They had, like, top-level butter for the Roosterkoek. So it was top tier. Now, we had starters. And our poiki, I thought, probably not the best poiki, but overall, our team should have won. Anyway, I still haven't gotten over that. But it was unbelievable to get the energy right. So the next day, now people are continuing that banter into it. And, you know, it's always awkward at weddings, like we got to meet or whatever. So, but in that 6-7 hours where we were cooking and, you know, walking around the fire, meeting old friends, meeting old people we hadn't seen from around the world in a while, and meeting new people, it created an incredible energy. So if you are getting married, a competition of sorts where people have to integrate and trap them in a space. Like, don't make it like an amazing race. That's useless, because people are just going to pick their team and whatever. So the teams were picked for us. So I didn't know the people in my team, and the other teams didn't really know each other. I think the team that won, well, they all knew each other because they were family. Yeah, they were. The Poiki Porras, they were called. Yes, Portuguese. Hysterical bunch. So it was Jesse's family. They had their aprons made. You know, this is the kind of level of competition we're talking about. But that was amazing. So I would highly recommend that as an idea, because these situations are quite a sacrifice for people. And not everybody's social. Like, I'm quite a social person, you know. It's a great way for those who aren't as socially inclined, you know, aren't social butterflies, to also just meet everyone and be around and observe, like, okay, that's the big character. That's so-and-so. Oh, they wife. you know, children, and everyone spoke to everyone in some sense, whether you actually spoke or you can overhear a conversation and you pop over there and you hear it, or, you know. So I'd highly recommend something like that, a poiki cooking competition the night before your wedding, especially if it's a destination one. Now, if you're doing it in your home, like whatever, people are staying at home. So, but if you're staying at a place like that, try and find something where you can do some cooking or something community centered, but make sure the people are trapped in a space. So they have to talk, so they have to interact. And the competition thing made it even more fun. So an incredible wedding. Obviously, I'm the best. I didn't even realize how brilliant I would be, by the way, as a wedding MC, because I'm the best in, I'm certainly the best MC in South Africa in the health lifestyle space. That's not even close. I can say that. I might be the best in Africa. I've never really seen anyone north of the border in Africa, but I'm proper. Like if you've seen me at a sporting event, I'm proper. I'm as good as it gets, certainly in my country. But I'm a pretty good wedding MC as well. Turns out it translates, you know. I'm very good. I'm not going to be humble about this. I'm very, very good. And the bride actually called me a hero as I arrived. And you don't really need context there. So I'm a hero as well. So humble, a hero, you know, the people's champion. And possibly, according to Montpellier's manager, I'm the best MC they've ever seen. I mean, they're a 300-year-old wedding venue, or at least wine farm. So in 300 years, you know, I'm the best they've ever seen. Now, people are saying, you can't say that because nobody lives to 150. So what if 182 years ago there was someone better? Well, this wedding venue manager has said, I'm the best they've ever seen. So there's that. And that might be the best venue I've ever seen. Am I the best wedding MC in the world? Certainly in South Africa. These are the questions you've got to be willing to ask it. You have to be willing to ask. If the venue manager is saying, I'm the best they've ever seen. And they've seen, listen, that's a top class venue booked out 24/7. The wedding venue, Montpellier's manager, had to even say to the groom, wow, this guy. So I'm very, very good at it. I'm very good at what I do in that sense. But it's the only thing I'm good at, unfortunately. I wish my ability to MC and coordinate events using oratory were transferable across the board. I'm only good at that. It is not, it's not the greatest skill to have. It's like I can't use that skill anywhere else. I can only MC stuff on a world-class level. I can't do anything else well, which is very unfortunate. It's like, if you're a world-class mathematician, now that translates across the board, you know what I mean? Like, you can build models, you can help people figure out the best way to run their piano business, you can help accounts, you can build business models, you know what I mean? Like, being an MC, being a pucker MC, all you can do is MC. That's all I can do. I can't do anything else. So it's a gift and a curse. It really is a gift and a curse, because I'm just limited to talking. I am not able. I cannot. I have no other skills. Hey, at least I found my niche, you know? Just like go to places and talk and then leave. Hell of a time to be alive. What a wedding. Jesse and Heidi Roberts. Brains Roberts. So couldn't wish for a man who... Because I'll finish off on this topic. If I've ever met anyone who does too much for others before he worries about himself, it's this guy. And I couldn't wish... we live in the world we live in. I believe in positive mindsets. So you want to say this is, I couldn't wish for a person, and I don't believe in happiness. I don't want to say happy because I think it's stupid Disney language. Like, I couldn't wish for a person to have the contentment they brought into my life and others who I experienced who weren't saying it in front of him. And a lot of people didn't know I was the MC actually when we arrived, because I didn't tell anybody on the first night. I was wearing an Italian tailored suit, by the way. I do have another suit on the way. This one's starting to become, you know, I think I've worn it 6 times now. It's like, okay, enough now. But it is pucker. You know, I couldn't wish for a person to have contentment for as long as possible that I could wish for this couple. In particular, and I'm just getting to, I mean, I know Heidi kind of, you know, she would visit, she was doing her Cairo on the East Coast when we were living together. So I got to meet her a little bit, but superficially, you know. So I'm kind of getting to know her. They live in Cape Town, I live in Joburg. So I haven't really been able to dive into it with her. Although, like, I'm not going to be best friends with someone's wife, you know. But I'm getting to know her and I trust him. He's made a great call. They've been in love for a long time and now they've done their thing. I couldn't wish contentment for more for a person that I've known in my life than this guy. I'd say there are four people who fall into that category. I'm about to be the best man at a wedding in 2 weeks. That's another guy. They're very similar in character, actually, in terms of the high character stuff. And I went to that guy's bachelor party yesterday. Whole different story. I think different podcast, maybe. Wow. And I left early, by the way. I left at like 9 o'clock. Yeah. You know, and the story is starting to come out because the boys, as I record this, it's Sunday. It was yesterday, Saturday. The boys did it. Let me just tell you that. From what I'm hearing, the guys are starting to wake up now. I'm recording this after the Liverpool Man City draw. So you understand, it's like 8 o'clock South African time. The boys are just getting up now. I'm starting to see photos and things from last night after I left and messages, etc. I got some voice notes. So they were doing it. Guys, very similar. Couldn't wish for more contentment. Jesse and Heidi, thank you, number one, for making me the MC. Because I take that very seriously, by the way. I was so stunned when he phoned me. I thought he was joking. I'm not even kidding. When he, like, the only thing I could take more seriously is, like, if I was the godfather to his child, you know? Like, the most serious thing in the world to me is children. Like, I don't think there's anything more serious in the human race than how we treat our children and women. I would say children more so. Like, hey, women are second. Sorry, you're an adult now. How you treat your children is everything. That is your future. Outside of being like the godchild for, or somebody letting you look after their kids, you know, I think that's the biggest honor in the world for me would be if somebody is willing to say, hey, please, can you babysit my kids? Now, I'm not very good at kids. I don't really know what to do. I say to someone with a baby. Anyway, different story for a different time. But when he asked me to be the MC for his wedding, especially knowing him, I was like, whoa. I really thought he was joking. And he's a bit of a prankster. There were people who said throughout the wedding and their speeches, even his father said there was a prank where he put snakes in his father's car. He threw a bucket, like he'd collected them where he lived with his mom. There's shrubbery out there. So, you know, in the Cape, the snakes are alive and well. So he poured snakes into his father's car. And I think he was about 11 at this stage. So he's got a tremendous sense of humor. And he's got that sort of playful side to him. So I thought he was pranking me. Like seriously, because he knows I MC for a living. But when it was serious, I was like, oh my goodness. For this guy to make me the MC is insane. Now, could have been a little bit of a management tool. Like, what if he doesn't come? But I took it very seriously. I take that incredibly seriously. It was outstanding. For a person of that high character to trust me with what I would imagine will be in the top four days of his life for the rest of his life was, you know, people said, aren't you nervous? Absolutely not. Like I said before, I'm world class at what I do. That's the easy part. I was just shocked that somebody at that level as a human being would ask me, an idiot like me, to be the MC for their wedding. It's hysterical. So it was awesome. It was awesome since then. And an incredible feeling to have someone like that let you, hey, put that in your hands. It's not a joke. It's not a joke. I'm a wedding guy now. I was at a bachelor's yesterday. Yeah. Incredible. What a time to be alive. What a time to be alive. And people should do this, by the way. They should put pressure on you to be a better person. All right, not a wedding podcast. We're like half an hour in here. I had to address that because it was a massive day in my life, you know? For somebody to allow me to be at the center of their wedding, you know, sort of 1A to them. Like, imagine I'm bad and I make it all about myself. Like, that ruins the wedding for everyone. Now, I obviously didn't feel pressure because, like I said, I'm world class at what I do. I understand the dynamics of event hosting, you know, being the master of ceremonies, big time guy here. But it can go that way. And I've seen low level MCs in any event make it about themselves, and it ruins it. So don't ruin people's weddings. It was incredible. All right. Jesse and Heidi Brones Roberts. Hell of a thing. Hell of a time. As I said to them at the wedding, they're now together forever. All right, let's get into the show. Thomas Tuchel has been fired, essentially. Fired early. Because at the end of the season, he'll be gone. And you know, my thoughts on this, I've touched on it a little bit. The erosion of Bayern Munich since Karl-Heinz Rummenigge left. And obviously Uli Hoeneß wasn't the same. Oliver Kahn, they're getting rid of him now. But this is what happens to empires. Empires don't crumble from the outside. They crumble from the inside. I don't know what's going on at Bayern Munich. But when I knew things were going wrong is when they signed Leroy Sané. Because that kind of signing, and he's always been a little bit, I'll talk about Pogba a little bit later, and you saw him with Sadio Mane. Like, Sadio Mane has never upset anybody or been involved in that. For him to headbutt or punch Leroy Sané tells you what it is. But when they signed Sané, I knew Bayern Munich is finished. As I knew it and loved them. You know, there is a saying. So if you ever want to see if your football shirt is original and it's real, right? There is a Bavarian statement. So it is a translation to a Bavarianism of German for we are who we are. They say mir san mir in Bavaria is we are who we are. And that's what's always made Bayern Munich special. Signing people in January has never been their thing. Over the last 3 years, they've made 6 signings in January. That's not their thing. You know, they epitomize these lazy sort of stereotypical German. It's always been the thing. System, you know, build the model, believe in it. We don't care what anyone else is doing. We're doing what we do. We don't do marquee signings. We don't sign £100 million players. And we don't sign low character guys. If we produce the low character guy, we don't mind tolerating that guy. Or if he's German, you know. So one of my hero there is a Stefan Effenberg at München. He was a, think Boris Becker, but football. Lothar Matthäus, we've seen what, you know, he's a spicy character. So if he's German, they generally don't mind that. They don't mind, especially if he's Bavarian. If he's Bavarian, have at it. But if he's German, we'll produce him, we'll look after him, and we don't really mind if he comes with some extra baggage. But when you go and get a Man City product and pay big money for Leroy Sané, that's when I knew it was over. And the Harry Kane thing just makes no sense. It just makes no sense. £100 million signings is not a Bayern Munich thing. But it's happened slowly but surely over the last couple of years where they're signing marquee players. Makes no sense. Not their style. And now Tuchel's gone. So that's the third manager in 4 years now. They fired Julian Nagelsmann when he was on a ski trip with his family. Remember that? That's how Nagelsmann got fired, by the way. That's not Munich. And you know how I know it's over? There's a lot of noise coming out of Bayern Munich. Think, if you're old like me, or even if you're a young football supporter, 10 years ago, under Karl-Heinz Rummenigge, you never heard of anything happening. You never heard anything. You just heard on signing day, oh, okay. Lewandowski. Hummels. Like, what? Or they would tell you in January, hey, we're signing this guy at the end of the year. Here's how much it costs. And the story disappears. And we carry on. But Sadio Mane, even a strange signing. I mean, Mane was, in my eyes, the best player in the world at the stage. But it's not a Bayern Munich thing. Even Gnabry. So it's very, very interesting. Tuchel's gone. I think this era has been awful. Since Karl-Heinz Rummenigge, it's been an absolute dog show. But it shows you. Greatness is difficult. Greatness is not contagious. What Rimenicha has produced, it just shows you to keep a lid on it like that. And people often just take it for granted. You know, the Australian cricket team of the 90s and noughties. Fergie's Man United, Wenger's Arsenal. You know, what Real Madrid are doing now with the great Carlo Ancelotti. Pep's Barcelona. Look what happens when those people leave. Look what happens. People think greatness is contagious. Like, oh, he coached with Ancelotti. He coached with Arrigo Sacchi. No. Look at AC Milan since Ancelotti left. United, since Fergie left. It's not contagious. Like, bringing Steve McLaren back has... please. It's not how it works. Steve McLaren coached with Fergie way back when. Greatness is not contagious. And it's not for everyone. And let me say this. Greatness is impossible to find. Life partner, football, administrators, accountants, great people are taken. And Bayern Munich are learning this very quickly. But same thing as United. It's crumbling from the inside. That's where empires always crumble from. Rome, you know? Even the great city of Constantinople as a head. From the inside. All the great empires in the history of mankind crumble from the inside. And we're seeing that with Bayern Munich now because they're moving away from their ethos. Go back to what I said at the beginning of the pod. Just forget about people. Everyone's replaceable. Good ideas or not. I'm all for progressing, but there are certain core principles that if you change them, you're finished. Bayern Munich are finished, as we knew and loved it. It's over. It is over. I mean, what are we doing? Mia San Mia, they used to say. All right, if you'd like to get in the DMs, MKT Inspires, Instagram is the best one. I'm most active on Instagram. I'm on Twitter or X, so feel free to hit me up there, MKT Inspires. Otherwise, MKT at the MKTshow.com. .com. Wedding guy. I'm wedding guy now. Liverpool City, what a game. These two clubs are operating at a whole nother level. Now, Man City, we'll see what happens there. 115 charges, but they're doing it. They are doing it. They are humming. Liverpool, tremendously coached. And obviously, I think, a little emotional with Jurgen leaving. By the way, Jurgen Klopp, this idea that Jurgen Klopp's like Arrigo Sacchi is a bit much, isn't it? Like, we care more. I think this is where he does too much. Like, everyone cares. And dude, you've spent £800 million. You're not Leicester. Like, Liverpool are not Leicester. Like, can we calm down with that stuff? Although it's his natural character, he likes a bit of that. He's an entertainer, but he's won one title. Can people relax with this guy? You know, like, Kenny Dalglish has a Premier League title. Sorry, I don't want to hear about we came second to a great dynasty. So everyone under Fergie is what you're telling me. Oh, okay, you're not telling me anything. You either win or you don't. Sorry. Everyone when Belichick was doing it. Everyone when Australia were under Buchanan. Oh, we only lost because they were better than us. Yeah, sorry. Like, Mourinho has three titles. Stop comparing Jose Mourinho to Jurgen Klopp. Like, Jurgen Klopp is not Jose Mourinho in Premier League terms. Sorry. I know it's emotional. And I like Jurgen. By the way, I like that. I like passion. I like a leader. I said when he came, his great thing is, his personality matches Liverpool. A little bit of underdog, you know, we're the third city. Why does everyone focus on Manchester up north? We're the ones. And obviously London's the city, but Manchester's the second city. And there's a great rivalry, obviously, between Manchester and Liverpool across the board, culturally. Now, football is, I believe, after music, the second extension of culture, you know, and representative of culture anyway. And Jurgen's perfect. Underdog, we're always, you know, it's a working class place. Jurgen's got that grinding mentality that you need to be a Liverpool manager. So he connects with them. Football's a spiritual game. It's a spiritual connection. What is it they say? Football is an extension of war by other means. And he truly is their general. And he connects in the Napoleonic sense with Liverpool. His personality is perfect. Being emotional doesn't mean you're right, though. doesn't make him Jose Mourinho. He's got one title. Even if he wins another one, Jose's got three. Wenger's also got three. What are we doing? Can we calm down on this guy? He's not the second coming. Like, Pep Guardiola is clearly now, I think, established himself as the second best manager the Premier League's ever had. So, I don't know what we're doing here. It's a little emotional. I also, personally, because I'm emotionally repressed, I think, I don't like it when people announce their retirement before the season. So it might be like a psychological trick of, man, we know it's going to be tough. Let's try and be emotional with everyone. Why don't you just retire at the end of the season? Like, just tell the board, tell your players, and then keep going. Like, no one needs to hear about it. We don't need the interview. Oh my God. Save that for afterwards. I can see why Jurgen Klopp turns people off, you know? I can see it. It's like, it feels a little bit fake sometimes. Like, you know, I like natural, raw emotion. Like, Diego Simeone feels a bit more real. Like, there's a little bit of pomp and circumstance with Jurgen now. So it's a bit much. Like, we care more. Oh my God. Do me a favor. Everyone cares, dude. Crystal Palace are a great club. They care. You know, Arsenal care. Like, it's a great club. United care. Well, we care more. It matters more to us. Do us a favor. If you haven't seen the statement, it was Trent Alexander-Arnold, who's also at it now. I mean, are Liverpool the most unlikable club in England? You know, this is why nobody wants them to win. Like, we care the most. We're a real British club. Oh, for the love of Christ. For all that is holy. Can somebody just put that in a cage? Do us a favor. Like, I could not hope a team loses it more than Liverpool. I mean, Arteta's just as unbearable, right? But, I mean, it's painful stuff. Man City is the right team to win it for everyone. Because nobody really cares with City. The 115 charges, it's like, it feels very manufactured. And nobody really cares with Man City. Because no one takes City seriously, you know? It feels, ugh. So it's like, it's brilliant. We admire how it's run. It's modern. It's sophisticated. But the way it was put together is, ugh. You know, it's uglier than Chelsea, because Chelsea have had a history in the 80s, 90s. So it's not like Chelsea were this first division club and nothing and then just fueled. And now it sounds like there's charges. You know, Chelsea never had charges. So Man City is the right one to win it for everyone. Like, I can't have Arteta and Mr. I Care More. Oh, my Lord. All right. As I do every Monday, tell you where I was right, where I was wrong. If you are new to the show, all the time, making calls, Twitter, in real life, face-to-face with humans, you know, I make predictions, bold predictions. I don't mean bold like I don't have hair, bold, like the bold and the beautiful, you know. I make calls every week, get it right, get it wrong. I have the personality to say where I was wrong, which is a saintly trait. I'm not saying I'm a saint, I'm saying it is a saintly trait. You know, as Nelson Mandela said, I'm not a saint unless you consider a saint somebody who just keeps trying. So the quote went something like that. Or a sinner who just keeps trying, I think he said. And myself and Nelson Mandela are both Xhosa. So am I at least, at the very worst, the second coming of Nelson Mandela? I'm not saying I am, but again, we've got to ask these questions. You know, let's table the question and investigate it properly, fully. Give it the breadth that it deserves. And I'm a journalist as well. There's a whole nother story to that. Big J journalism. All right, where I was right, where I was wrong. Let's get into it. Where I was right, the UEFA Champions League format is basically the Super League with better PR. And people say, no, but what about the sporting merit? Like, we know the teams that are going to qualify. The Premier League is the only competition in the world. We know the Italian teams. We know the Spanish teams. All the countries that fought for the Super League, because they run like their places like spaza shops, right? It's Spain, it's Italy. Like, Bayern Munich are not on board, because they've run their club like a pristine German engine for half a decade. All the clubs that are in societies, Italy, Spain, that are they've run it like a spaza shop and let it erode, is Real Madrid. Because Real Madrid know they've capped out. Because the competition isn't what it can be commercially. It's them, Barcelona, and that's it. And then Italy is just a dog show. Like Serie A is just a dog show, right? So I was right. Of course it's going to be the Super League. And this is what it takes. Seferin is a liar. He's completely lied about player safety and less games. There's more games than there would have been in the Super League, by the way, with this new format. There are more games in this one than there would have been in the Super League that was proposed. So it's not about player health. It's not about player safety. Remember all that stuff Seferin was saying? It's not about that. It's what the Super League guys were saying. And Florentino Perez knew he'd get his way. And I think the Super League will still come back, the idea, because they're still capped by UEFA and UEFA is just a dog show. But I was right. I told you, Seferin, I said it 2 years ago, Seferin is going to do this. And they've done it because Florentino Perez put the pressure on them. I was right. We've got the Super League. We've got the Super League. It's not about the Premier League teams. Forget about Premier League sporting competition. Spain and Italy know the three or four teams that have to get in and need essentially rescue, administrative rescue. Because they're broke. They are broke. Real Madrid are fine, but they understand Serie A or La Liga is capped out as a business. It cannot grow beyond what it is now. Because it's a one and a half team competition. Barcelona are a scam. They are a scam. We are now seeing it's all unraveling. Where I was wrong, Arsenal, 8 wins in a row. They are flying. I didn't think they could do it without a striker. Mikel Arteta, absolutely incredible. He dyes his hair. Doesn't matter. Kai Havertz is on the rise. Arsenal, incredible. Declan Rice, incredible. I was wrong. They've got 8 wins in a row. I thought when squeaky bum time came, I thought Arsenal would fall apart. They have not. They are staying strong. Where I was right, Chelsea need time. Year one, it's just not working out. It's not there. It's new players. It's new board. Nobody knows each other. These players are young. They don't understand responsibility. Pochettino, it's been difficult for him. It's been difficult for him. There aren't leaders in the team. So I was right. They need another year. At least a Poch must get until the end of second year. Where I was wrong, Spurs are going to get top four. They hammered Aston Villa at Villa. They've got a great record there, the Spurs. At Villa Park, 4-0. My goodness. Not a red card. Absolutely disgusting call on McGinn. I thought it was a terrible tackle, but it's not a red card. Come on, it's the English Premier League. 4-0 Spurs. I was wrong. They're going to make top four. It's happening. It is happening. We're watching it happen. Big Ange Postecoglou from Straya. Where I was right, Harry Kane move, disaster. I told you when you leave your home, right, you will never be loved like you are at home. They will tolerate so much. Harry Kane, it's been a little bit of a disaster. People are saying, yes, but what about his goals in the Bundesliga? They expect that in Munich. What about everything else? We cannot not be winning the double every year. They're not going to win anything this year. They got knocked out of the cup by a third division team. Harry, what are we doing? The goals are expected. They saw Lewandowski for, what is it, 6 years. So they're not interested in that. You're supposed to do that. You're Bayern Munich. What else are you bringing? If they don't win the Champions League, it's a disaster. I think it's been a disaster move. Spent 100 million on you, and we're worse. Oh, my goodness. And listen, in Munich, they do not tolerate this. Those fans will let you know. They will let you know. Incredible. And lastly, where I was wrong, Alonso is talking to Bayern Munich, according to reports. I did not think he would want to leave Leverkusen, especially in the Champions League. You could learn in that cocoon and take another year just to figure it out. Because what it would have given you was these players are stars now at Leverkusen. You know, they're no longer just happy to be here. You'll start to see some of the personalities. And you'd have to manage those personalities where people have expectations of the manager now. Like, hey, I'm a big star player. And you'd start to see the behavior change. And you'd learn to manage those guys in year two as a manager. But he's talking to Bayern Munich. He feels he's ready. I was wrong. I said I thought he would stay at Leverkusen another season and then go to Bayern and then take the big job. I was wrong. Bayern Munich in conversations. Xabi Alonso, the magnificent, the legendary footballer and now precocious talent as a manager. Xabi Alonso talking to Bayern Munich. I was dead wrong there. I thought he would avoid that and hot potato it. Wowzers. Oh, wowzers. That is where I was right. That is where MKT was wrong. MKT Inspires on the socials. Would love to hear your thoughts on your team, sport, and everything else. would love to hear it. All right, let's get out of here on this. Paul Pogba has been banned for 4 years. Those of you who have been watching the show, our day ones, will know my thoughts on Paul Pogba three years ago. You know my thoughts on Pogba. So Pogba has been banned 4 years for performance enhancing drugs. He will be, this ban, which he's taking to CAS, which is the arbitration court in Switzerland, will take his suspension until August 2027 when he will be 34 years old. It renders his elite club career over. Right? His football career, maybe not. He's strong, he's physical, he's got gifts. So he may be able to play low La Liga, low Serie A, you know, and then where Saudi, you know, maybe, I don't know if MLS would want him, but Saudi, you know, he could still, I don't think it's going to be a money issue. But he's gone for 4 years. He'll be 34 in August 2027 when this ban ends. And I have to preface this. You know, if you're going to have a shithousery personality like that, the dancing and the hairstyles, and I have that personality. By the way, I am out front. Right? I always have been. I've always been a big mouth. I've always been, some might say, have an inflated self-worth. So some people might say just a prick. But if you have that personality, which I have, I don't expect empathy from people when things go wrong. Because I believe in extreme accountability, and not because I'm some genius. My father raised me this way. My father used to say to me since I was young, everything in life's your fault. Everything in life is your fault. If it is in your life, it is your fault. That's not very comforting for people, but I got raised like that, and it makes me most comfortable when I take full responsibility for good and bad in my life. I want all the credit and all the blame. I never go, oh, geez, I couldn't have controlled that person. No, no, no. You must control everything in your life. Be a grown-up. But I got raised that way. So I want to say I have the personality Paul Pogba has of being out there, being brash. If you're going to be that personality, you have to live with all the consequences, good and bad, following that. So in my book, it's very difficult to feel sorry for him. I don't know why people feel sorry for him. If you're going to be that personality, Jack Grealish, you know, Ravel Morrison, you're going to be that personality, Mike Tyson. If you're going to have that personality, I'm sorry, I feel nothing for you. Like, I'm sorry, I don't, because I'm that personality. So it's not like I'm saying, oh, I'm better than you. I'm saying, no, I'm the same personality as you are. And when things go wrong, I know what people say to me or about me. I've heard it all. I don't go boo hoo, woe is me. No. If you put yourself out there, live with it. But here are my reasons for not feeling sorry for him. He left Man United at 19 for Juventus, all because Alex Ferguson brought Paul Scholes out of retirement and wouldn't play him. And there was Michael Carrick. So for me, it's like, that's not normal behavior. When you're in the best situation in the world, with arguably the best manager in the world at the time, why would you leave? Why would you leave? That's not normal behavior. Why would you leave a world-class institution, the richest club in the world, where you're going to play? It's clear. There's a clear pathway. Scholes is on his way out. They literally bought him out of retirement. And Michael Carrick is on the back nine. So going to Serie A, which was the third, fourth league in the world at the time, from the best club in the world, just does not make sense. And people say, yeah, the confidence to believe he could play. Dude, you're going to play. You've just watched Cristiano Ronaldo be groomed to become the best player, the only player ever to win a Ballon d'Or in the Premier League. You're in Fergie's last season, so he's going to hand it over to you. Makes no sense. That's not normal behavior. Fergie, Scholes retiring. You could have had Carrick for guidance. Then you go to Serie A. What a joke. Fresh out of Calciopoli as well. Come on. Listen, if you're going to be that personality, you're not allowed to complain about negative feedback. I hate that so much with celebrities. Like, they're out there, they put themselves out there, and then when they get called out for being wrong, it's like, or for people just, you're allowed to be offended in society, right? And there's social media now, like we live in this world. It's like, if people don't like your personality, they're allowed to tell you. by the way, as an entertainer. Like, you're not, like, imagine Taylor Swift's world. Like, I hate Taylor Swift's music. I admire her as a business person, but I don't even know a single song Taylor Swift does. Imagine her world. Cristiano Ronaldo, you think it's a picnic for him? Leo Messi. It's not a picnic. Life at the top is not, listen, it's not fun. Too much is given. So if you're going to be that personality, you're going to be in public and you're going to put yourself out there, live with the negative feedback. I'm sorry. Learn to live with negative feedback. And I will never move off that. I hope young people realize in this era. Like, I see young girls put themselves on social media, live with the negative feedback. Nobody said you got to put your ass on Facebook. Sorry. Oh, I can't believe it. Body shaming. Why are you putting your ass on Facebook? What are we doing? What did you think? Everyone's your best mate. It's not how it works. It's not how the real world works. People are allowed to have an opinion. People are not allowed to be right, but they can have an opinion, especially in 2024. So if you're going to be that personality, I don't want to hear people complaining about feedback, about negative feedback. I've never heard Taylor Swift whinging about her life. Could you imagine the abuse she's under? Cristiano Ronaldo. Never heard Ronaldo complain about negative feedback, by the way. Leo Messi, never heard him complain. Negative feedback. Arjen Robben, these great players, Roy Keane, I've never heard them whinge the amount Paul Pogba did in his career. And then there's the family stuff. You know, I knew that something was cooking because I just know that personality. Remember, his brother was arrested for plotting to kidnap him and extort £11.2 million from him. Like, what is going on? But again, in life, I've got to tell you, control your situation. Control your situation. You're not allowed to say, oh, my family. Like, control that. Like, we all have families. And again, I tell everyone, I'm a patriarch. Like, if you're a man, control your situation. Control your family. Get a lid on it. You're not allowed to complain if you don't take control. In fact, ideally, you shouldn't complain at all. But I'm a patriarchal person. Like, if you're a man, take control of that stuff. Put your brother in a corner. Like, wrangle that situation. So just everything about it's noisy, man. Everything about it's noisy. And I have no empathy for Paul Pogba. He brought this on himself. He did. And let me tell you something. When I got to Spurs, Tottenham Hotspur Academy, they have like a 5-hour briefing with you. They call them compliance meetings. It's so boring. But you have these meetings where they tell you, one of the first things they tell you, and they make it clear. For a sportsman, everything you put in your body is your responsibility. There is no, I took it without knowing. Like, anything you put in your body, they make it clear, academy level. And it was painful. There were all sorts of compliance and education things. But the big one was, whatever you put in your body is your responsibility. So I do not want to hear I didn't know. And there is contamination, but it's very rare. Very, very rare. Single percentile. Very rare that there's contamination. It's so extremely rare. So he said, I'm sad and shocked. Like, come on, bro. You poor Pogba. Like, really? You are Paul Pogba. There's no contamination there. It's a failure of character. It's okay. It happens. He's under extreme pressure. I get it. The injuries have been piling up. So his legacy, I would say, is good for France. Not great. He's been a support act to a generational era under Didier Deschamps. But he's been horrendous for club football. Because everybody keeps telling me, what about Juventus? That was 2 years and he had Vidal, Marchisio and Andrea Pirlo, maybe you've heard of him. 3 generational midfielders. And you're supposed to give credit to him. Who isn't going to do well in that setup, by the way? Like, who's not going to flourish in that setup? Remember when Diabala went there? Like, who isn't going to flourish with Andrea Pirlo and Marchisio feeding you the ball and Marchisio and Vidal doing the dog work? Like, what are we talking about? I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear the Juventus thing. And it was fixed. Like, it's clear. The league was fixed then. Right? Juventus are possibly the most corrupt club in football. And that's not me just saying that. Like, We saw the culture poly. They cheated again. Pavel Nedved and those guys suspended now for manipulating decisions by paying referees. That's not me making it up. Pavel Nedved, one of the greatest players of all time, right now, right? And Agnelli, the younger, they are suspended from the board right now. So Juventus might be the most corrupt club in the world. So Pogba had that on top of it. I would say he's more sizzle than steak. I've never been about it. And I tell everyone this. Being a big time Charlie is for certain people. Paul Gascoigne, Diego Maradona, Cristiano Ronaldo, they can be big time Charlie. Because let me tell you what it is. Football is a production tolerant world. If you're young and you're getting into the working world, always remember this. Production breeds tolerance. My father used to say this to me when I was young. Everything is production tolerance. Relationships, work, but we're just talking about work now. Production versus tolerance. And tolerance will never outweigh production. And it was just too much with Pogba now. Being a big time Charlie is for very, very few people. I see Jack Grealish being on the way to being a Pogba, by the way. I've always worried about him, but now I'm starting to see that this lifestyle thing, it ain't going to work. Not at the top. He's going to have to go back to Aston Villa, go to a Leicester or something. It ain't going to fly at this level. Because Jack Grealish is very much Pogba, right? And I like the player. I liked both players. I really did in terms of the talent. Production versus tolerance. For me, more sizzle than steak, Paul Pogba. That is his legacy. And big time Charlie, it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. Very few people can be that. Like, Paul Scholes could have afforded to be big time Charlie. Frank Lampard could have afforded that. Steven Gerrard, but they weren't. Because you know why? Football's too serious of a job. That kind of player's dead now. That's why Jack Grealish is struggling. That kind of big time Charlie, that's why Madison is struggling to get into the England team and be, and because it's too corporate now. That big time Charlie thing, seriously, you've got to be out of this world in terms of talent. You've got to be like, I'm talking like in this current generation, Mo Salah, you've got to be like Kimmich, Cruz, you know, Bale, Prime Bale. Those guys can be prima donnas. But there's probably six or seven in every generation who can afford that. Seriously, like Kevin De Bruyne is one of those guys in this generation, you know? Rodri could be that. But they're not. Because they get it. They get it. The big time Charlie thing. No. Not now. 20 years ago, maybe. No. It's a wasted career, but it's to say this to young people. Talent is everywhere. You've got to make sure you develop your character. And I don't know what went wrong in the dude's life. Whether it was RIP, his agent, you know, he chose a gangster agent. He kind of liked that lifestyle. His family's a mess. You've got to find a way to develop your character because talent is not that interesting. It's ubiquitously available on Earth, especially now. Talent is not that interesting. Character will win in the long term over talent because talent's everywhere, especially now with scouting. So people like Paul Pogba, they're going to get flushed out of these of football. Like if you look today, that Paul Pogba luxury player doesn't really exist anymore. Like Grealish, the Madison, that kind of number 10 where you don't really do the dirty work, that kind of player is being phased out. I mean, you look at these the new generation of Bernardo Silva, I would say the next generation will be like Musiala and those guys, Foden. They track back. There's The maverick player is out now. It's all about the academy player. Bukayo Saka. That's who you got to be. That Marcus Rashford style player is out. It's too systematic now. That's why part of the sad thing about where football's going, the flair player is out. It's why Joao Felix, I think, is it's problems. Because he's a number 10. He wants to be Kaká or Juan Román Riquelme. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. That kind of player, especially in the Gegenpress era, just doesn't work. Like, you wouldn't fit in with Klopp. Pochettino, you know, Pep definitely not. I mean, Eto out, Ibrahimovic out. He will not tolerate a luxury player ever, by the way, Pep. So the Pogba type of player, I would say it's a wasted career. There's nothing more sad in life. There's nothing more sad. And I've lived this, and I'm trying for the rest of my life to ensure that I reach my potential. There's nothing worse than wasting talent. There's nothing worse. You know, in your life, when you're upset, right? You get upset with people who you think have potential. You don't get upset with idiots. The time we get upset, it's why your girlfriend gets upset with you. You know why? Because what she's telling you is, you're so much better than this. But like most reasonable people, and most people are reasonable in the world, let's face it, 95% of the world is reasonable. 5%, it's madness. But the madness always makes the headlines and people go, oh my God, I can't believe it. But most people are nice and they just want to look after their kids and go to work. Like, I know it's difficult to, with social media. Social media is not the real world. But 95% of the world is people who just want to find a life partner, have two kids, raise them well, send them to school, and retire together somewhere with a little kitty to enjoy their lives. And by kitty, no one should have cats. They're disgusting animals. I meant financial kitty. Most people are decent, right? Which is why it's important to develop that character. Character in the long term will always win over talent. And you've just seen it with Paul Pogba. Sad. But c'est la vie. It's what you want to work towards. Achieve your potential. No one cares about talent. Serious people don't anyway. Because it's available everywhere. What they want is, can I rely on you? It's over. Paul Pogba. What a waste. Not sad. What a waste. Trust me, I've wasted talent on many things. I'm literally a failed footballer, so I know the feeling. I know the behavior. That's another thing. I know when you're wasting it. I see it. Years ago, and I didn't realize with Dele Alli how horrendous the situation was with his disgusting family and the people that exposed him to the things that Dele Alli was exposed to. If you haven't seen the Overlap interview, I would highly recommend seeing why Dele Alli fell apart. But I remember saying, hey, I know destructive behavior. I engage in it. I remember when it was falling apart for Dele Alli. I was like, something's going on there. I even addressed it on the podcast when we were still video the first time. I said, something's wrong there. This guy's behavior is not normal. And he's explained, obviously, like, you don't leave Tottenham when at 21, you've come from MK Dons and you're in the England team. And then you smash it out the park with Tottenham. Remember that first season? And then you leave for Everton. And you're fighting with the manager, the club that gave you everything. I said, that's not normal behavior. And it's subsequently come out. So I know this kind of character. I know it. I know. And in terms of Dele Alli, it wasn't a character thing. It's just like, wow, the guy was abused as a child. Oh, okay. But I spotted it. I said, that's not normal. Pogba's behavior leaving Man United and also a lot of the stuff I see, like, that's not normal behavior. Something's wrong there. What are you saying? You're seeing a crisis in... What he's had is a failure of character. That's what Paul Pogba's had here. When you cheat, it's a failure of character. It's got nothing to do with your talent. Lots of people get injured. Lots of people... Kevin De Bruyne hasn't been caught for drugs. Right? Cristiano Ronaldo's had injuries. Leo Messi's had injuries. Like, these guys haven't been caught for drugs. So, I don't want to hear it. And for those... Obviously, there's conspiracy theories. Trust me, I know people who work at VADA. These guys aren't cheating. Trust me. I know that there's always conversations about, oh, everyone's on drugs. They are not. You don't have to trust me. I know people who work at VADA. It's basically impossible to cheat now. It's so good now. It is so good, the testing. And there is no incentive for organizations to allow people to cheat. Trust me. Especially now in football, there's enough footballers in the system that can replace stars. Like, in 6 months, people will forget about Paul Pogba. If they haven't forgotten about him already, there's too much talent now. Like, you don't need to manufacture stars anymore. You don't need to protect Cristiano Ronaldo. If Ronaldo is doping, they'd catch him. Like, there's nothing in it for FIFA and UEFA and the Premier League to protect doping. There's just too many stars now. There's too much talent that's begging to become a star. So there's no conspiracy here. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist anyway. So love to hear what people think. Paul Pogba, wasted career, unlucky. Should we feel sorry for him? And you might be this person, by the way, who's having a failure of character. I get it. I was in a life spiral for 6 years, behaving like an absolute tit. A horrendous human. Nobody's ever going to tell me about poor character. Because I had a failure of character. So I know what it looks like. I know what it does to people in your life. I've seen it. I lived it. I was him. But I don't want empathy. Because I caused that. Paul Pogba caused this. Nobody must feel sorry for him. That's the narrative I want to cut here. Talented guy who just screwed it up. That's how I view him. Love to hear what people think. MKT inspires, otherwise MKT at the MKT show. Have the greatest week of your lives. Whatever you're doing this week, whenever you're listening to this, I hope you're having the time of your life. Have a good one, you know. It is the South African summer now. It's getting towards the end of it, but incredible time to be alive. 30 degrees, another 30 degree belt I had today. What a time to be alive. What a country to live in. The weather here is just sensational. Wherever you are in the world, I hope you have an incredible week. I hope you have a good time with family, whoever it may be. If you're working on a degree, master's, you know, I know two people working on their master's degree at the moment. They are going through it. So I hope that goes well. Keep at it. Keep inspiring people. And the only way to inspire people, by the way, is to do inspirational things. You don't just say inspirational things. Just do inspirational things. People are watching. Trust me. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is MKT. This has been the MKT Show. And for now, we are the hell out of here.